morning, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's start with news that Russian President Vladimir Putin has announced that Russia has become the first country to grant regulatory approval to a COVID-19 vaccine. And this is after less than 2 months of human testing. So Moscow has likened its success to the space race. And so this newly approved coronavirus vaccine will be called Sputnik V. This is in homage to the Soviet Union's Cold War era satellite program. Now, Russian officials have said that they plan to start mass vaccination in October. The vaccine, however, has not yet completed its final trials, and Russia's announcement to grant this approval before then, it's raised some concerns among health experts. But Putin is saying that the vaccine has passed all the required checks and that even his daughter has already been given it. So the question is whether Putin's assurances are going to be enough, Sharad, to convince the international community.
Well, Melissa, I mean, it goes back to some really, I think, problematic optics and, you know, calling it Sputnik V and invoking the Cold War era, a time in which superpower rivalry was really about a kind of, you know, inflated nationalism. And nothing in some ways had to, it was about the science of it. And I think in the case of COVID-19, people are looking for the scientific community to lead the discussion and not necessarily politicians whose interests might be nationalistic.
And particularly, I think also the lack of transparency around the data. I think perhaps having, you know, the data be made public about the results of the trial could help, you know, allay some concerns about the efficacy of this.
Yeah,
of this
absolutely.
Vaccine.
Because when we talk about politicians, you know, leading as a, and, you know, and as and we compare that to, say, scientists, scientists have protocols, they have a system of peer review, all the test results, and we know there's some proprietary knowledge here, and, you know, of course, you know, Big Pharma is interested in making profits, and so that aside, the scientific community is driven by very high standards. Politicians are driven by short-term gains. And this, I think, is a very problematic
scenario. Okay, but you know what? I think not everyone has those concerns. There are some countries that are already buying in or placing orders for this, being ahead of production. And I'm just wondering how Malaysia is going to respond and how we want our policymakers, our decision-makers to respond to this. Do we want to jump on the bandwagon and place an order with Russia for this vaccine?
Yeah, I mean, placing orders, you know, ahead of everybody else, I mean, that's being done already for a range. I mean, so there's kind of a hedging your bets kind of
a
logic.
And there's so many possible vaccines.
Absolutely, Melissa.
In,
you know,
being developed.
The question is really, is this the one? And for policymakers, local policymakers and politicians, we want them to be asking the tough questions. They're going to be spending public monies. Are they going to be asking tough questions of the Russians? And there's no reason to be skeptical that Russia could have developed it first. I mean, I don't think that's the issue. The issue is that having developed it, you know, has there been enough safety sort of wired into the system? And is that up for public scrutiny, at least by peers within the scientific community?
Exactly. All right. Well, in other news, earlier this week, a video went viral in which a man revealed the location of an illegal gambling activity in Sungai Buloh, claiming that the police have not yet taken any action on the matter, alluding to allegations of police protecting the gamblers. Now we hear of news that that man in the video, Muhammad Asri Hamid, better known by his screen name Asri Janggut, he's now being investigated by police for allegedly insulting the Royal Malaysian Police and the Malaysian Armed Forces. Now, I think that's particularly interesting. You know, I wonder whether it might have a chilling effect on people who may want to come out and, you know, expose any kind of wrongdoings, whether this might mean, you know, it might feel like a crackdown towards this.
I think, you know, it'd be very clear that, you know, these two things was very, you know, they were separate and, you know, issues, right? So you have the question of the gambling debt for which the police have been responsive, and I think that's good. And it also demonstrates how civic engagement and public involvement actually will help stem corruption within institutions like the police. And I'm sure the police are grateful for that.
Well,
the issue really here with his insult is that he seems to have perhaps in the exuberance of the moment, gone on to say things that were actually quite unfair.
Right.
I mean, he was casting doubt about the piety of individuals
sure,
within the police force.
Sure, the moral standing. Again,
yeah,
yes.
not moral standing, but their piety, whether they actually pray,
prayers,
right?
Yeah, okay.
So should he have said that? And if he, and I believe he's apologized, yeah. Melissa,
yes.
Does that mean, you know, should we now close the books on this?
Well, okay, so you're absolutely right. And I think that at the heart of the matter here is, you know, ensuring that there are kind of channels for or kind of open communication with the public. So the public has, you know, wants to make a complaint about wrongdoings or things that they have observed or want to expose, there should be, you know, we should welcome those kinds of considerations, those kinds of, you know, the information, because, again, you know, the idea of, and I think one of the ministers has said that, you know, you have to do this according to the official channels or the right channels. And in the age of social media, in the age of this democratization of information, I don't know what those right channels are.
Well, I mean, there are right channels, but the you know, the question is whether, you know, those who are now calling for right channels are being, you know, too bureaucratic.
Right.
I mean, the question is, in the spirit of openness and
yes.
engagement, do you want to be insisting that, you know, the I's are dotted and the T's crossed on everything, rather than saying, what is the reason that this individual has come out to the public and made this complaint? And with that, really taking it forward. So, you know, saying, well, are there proper channels? I mean, these are things that authoritarians often say because they want to constrain precisely the democratization of public life in Malaysia.
Well, on that note of the gambling issue, I believe the latest news is that Bukit Aman is investigating the alleged misconduct of these officers and policemen in the Sungai Buloh IPD. So that's something that the police are looking into. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And after this, we'll turn our attention to Beirut and the consequences of that devastating explosion that killed 200 people and injured thousands. That's all coming up in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned to consider this.